How you guys doing? Good. All right. Hey, did you have a good Christmas? All right. Not bad. Good. Good. Not okay. Hey, do me a favor. Just 30 seconds, okay? And I know we're, you know, some of us social distancing, so be, you know, chill. But for 30 seconds, I would like you to just share with someone around you, maybe the person, you know, your the favorite thing that happened to you this Christmas. All right? Maybe a gift you received, maybe some family visiting, a phone call you got. Just share 30 seconds your favorite thing that happened over Christmas. All right? Got it. Go for it. I'll give you a minute, okay? You got it. If there's someone you don't know, you introduce yourself. All right. That is a conversation you can continue a little bit later. But besides having family in town and my grandkids and, you know, my brother and my wife, we just had a great family Christmas. My favorite thing over Christmas was our Christmas Eve services. Just the other night, we had a great time, three services on Thursday night, a time of worship. If you joined us online, thank you. If you were here in person, thanks for doing that. There were people in Building B. But so much was going on, so much to celebrate and be grateful for. Let me tell you a couple things. First of all, our worship team. I mean, they started, yeah, I mean, y'all don't know this. They practiced in for two services this week. They were here most of the week setting things up and practicing. Our red shirts, our security team, our preschool ministry, Shelly and her gang back there, taking care of preschool kids during all three services, babies and toddlers, so that we could be in here worshiping together. Just an amazing thing. Our guest services, if you were here, then you got candy canes, you got hot chocolate, somebody parked your car. Or maybe they just helped you park your car. It was raining outside. They're out there just doing their thing. So our guest services ministry did a great job. On and on and on I could go. In fact, if you were here, you knew that our kids actually received these activity packs. They got like coloring books and things inside of them. Great thing. We love kids. Eli and his team put that together. Super for our kids. But just about in the middle of second service, we ran out of those activity bags for the kids. Oh no, what are we going to do? You know, so we kind of, you know, well, Phil and Kevin and James put their heads together, and one of them, I'm not sure which one, but it was probably Phil, gets in his car on Christmas Eve in the rain, goes to the dollar store and puts together enough bags to have for the kids during third service. So, I mean, that's the kind of things. He don't want any credit, but he's sitting right there. So, but again, it's just so much to be, you know, if you were here third service, anybody was here third service, or maybe you heard. So what happened was we had this service going on, and then right in the middle of the third video before communion in our last worship set, the screen goes down and the power pops, poof, like, and things start to crackle, and then the lights go down, and then they start to flicker back up again. It's like, woo, that was close. Boom, and then everything goes out again, total darkness. And then the generators came on. We lost power during the video for the whole rest of the service. Yeah, it was, let me tell you what God did. What he did is he showed up in a way that we were able to, as he always does, to worship together, to come together as family around the Lord's table. Had to talk a little bit louder. Our worship team had to improvise, but it was just a phenomenal way to end that Christmas Eve night. So I praise God for that. And again, you've already applauded, but I want to thank everybody that participated in that and made that happen. Yeah, yep. Now, Christmas Eve was our third message in the Birth of Hope series. We started out by talking about the promise of hope, which Johnny just alluded to a minute ago. Then Chris last week did a phenomenal job of talking about how that hope had come in Jesus and what it means to us as we celebrate Christmas. And then on Christmas Eve, we talked about the birth itself and the hope that Jesus brings to us. And today, I want to talk about living hope. Living hope. Now, to get us started, just kind of thinking about that, I've got to ask you about something very, very personal, okay? Very deep, all right? So stay with me, all right? It's important, all right? How many of you guys have a living Christmas tree in your house? Okay, it's not that deep or important. I set you guys up, all right? What about artificial trees, all right? Got any artificials versus live? What do we got, all right? Anybody live versus artificial, huh? All right, I could give you a few minutes to talk about that today, and you probably would. This is our Christmas tree at home. We are artificial tree people. Now, I would say, are you live tree people or dead tree people? But the minute you take a tree out of the ground, it's dead, right? So that doesn't apply. But what we have here is a beautiful, artificial, fake Christmas tree. It's not the real thing. It's not going to leave pine needles in the living room. It's also not going to smell really good, but it does the job, and we really love our tree, and Lisa does a great job of decorating, but let me tell you the difference between trees and hope, okay? There's no argument. When it comes to hope, the best hope is living hope, a hope that is alive. A hope that continues to grow, a hope that continues to make the house smell good, that continues to brighten things up. You see, we can't get confused and think that if we're not careful, that hope can be artificial, hope can be fake. Hope needs to be real, needs to be alive. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about here in the next few minutes. How do we actually live that hope out? We've been talking about it. What's it mean to hold on to that hope? What's it mean to be able to live that hope, to share that hope with the world around us? Well, to do that, I want to look at a part of the Bible that was written by one of Jesus's original disciples. We've talked about him earlier in the year. His name is Peter, the Apostle Peter. And he was a man who saw Jesus with his own eyes live a perfect life. He saw Jesus do miracles and teach great things. Peter was involved with. He saw Jesus die on the cross, dead, brutally killed by the Romans. And then 3 days later, after being buried in a tomb, he saw Jesus alive again with his own eyes. He experienced the resurrection. Peter followed Jesus. He knew and he loved Jesus. As Johnny pointed out earlier, he denied Jesus. He had his ups and downs, but what happened with Peter was he became a preacher and a leader in the church. And I believe it was because of the hope that Peter experienced with the living Jesus. Hope that is alive. So how do we have that kind of hope? How do we experience that like Peter did? I think it begins by understanding that hope wasn't just born, but hope is alive. Hope wasn't just born in a manger through Jesus, but hope literally lives today. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be kind of floating through there a little bit. If you're next to somebody that's having trouble, help them find it. If you're watching online, go ahead and find that. And hold your Bibles close today, because we're going to come back to this whole idea in just a second. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. While you're finding it, I want to remind you that over the Christmas season, we looked at the true biblical story of Jesus' birth, okay? The birth of hope. And I think it's interesting to me that from the very beginning of Jesus's life, he had people trying to end his life. From the very beginning, we talked about King Herod. You see, with the birth of hope also came the attempt to kill hope. But guess what? Hope lived. Hope lived. In fact, the devil himself tried his hand at ending hope to temptation. We read about this in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Later on, enemy attacks, betrayal, arrest, trial, the death on a Roman cross tried to kill hope once and for all. And for a moment, it seemed as though hope was lost for 3 days. But even when its death seemed final, hope prevailed. Hope wins out. Yes, every attempt at the death of hope, listen, every attempt at the death of hope brought the birth of new hope. Just let that sink in. Every attempt at the death of hope brought the birth of new hope. I think that's exactly why Peter could write the words that he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1. He lived to see it all. And when it came time for him to encourage the persecuted, the scattered, the Christ followers of his day who were in need of hope, Peter reminded them to look to God for hope when hope couldn't easily be found. You know, we think we have it bad today. But those early Christians, they knew what persecution was all about. They knew what it was like to struggle and to doubt and to wonder and to lose hope. But Peter reminded them to look to God, and he reminded them that hope was not dead. In fact, hope was alive because Jesus is alive, and in him, in Christ, they could have living hope and we can have living hope. So today, as we read through Peter's words, I want us to be reminded that we can look for hope no matter what life throws at us. And sometimes, to be honest with you, it is like a treasure hunt. I mean, we've got to dig and we've got to look and we've got to try to figure out, all right, where are you? But it's there. No matter what you're going through in your life, hope can be found. It's there. Whether you had a terrible 2020 or whether you had a great 2020, whether your Christmas was merry or whether it was super difficult, whether you spend time being, man, I got all the answers and I know and I'm living on top of the world, or whether you spend time in the depths of doubt and confusion. Today, I hope that as we look ahead to 2021, we'll hear God's word. Y'all, listen, hope is not dead. Hope is alive. We have been singing about it today, and we believe it to be true. Jesus is alive, and in him, we have a living hope. And God's word helps us know exactly where to find and how to live that hope. 1 Peter 1. Before I even read the verse, here's where it comes from. New birth through the resurrection of Jesus. A living hope is found in a new birth through the resurrection of Jesus. Let's take a look at this verse. Verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Ready? Listen to what he says. Praise, again, in the midst of persecution, this is encouragement. These are words of hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him, it is, in his great mercy, he has given us, this is a gift, okay? He's given us new birth into a living hope. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love what Peter says here. Just to let those words, new birth. Guys, look, the birth of hope is found in birth itself. New birth. The birth of hope is found in new birth. In Jesus Christ, we can literally be born into new life and new hope. And I look back, I think about John chapter 3, back in the Gospels, where Jesus is, he's doing life and he's approached by a Pharisee named Nicodemus. You might remember the story. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, who he knows, he believes, has come from God. So Nicodemus goes to Jesus, and he's inquiring. He's looking for hope. He's wondering about the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Think about this, new birth. And Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Weird word picture there, okay? Grown-ups don't go back into their mother's womb to be born again, all right? That's not where Jesus is going. So Jesus answers, verse 5, "Very truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." New birth. He goes on to explain to Nicodemus that what this new birth is all about. He says that no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. He's talking about himself. And that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And then he goes on to write a verse many of us know, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish." I want you to remember that word, perish, "but will have eternal life." Remember that. "For the Son, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." See, hope for today, hope for eternal life is found in new birth, being born again in Christ. By believing in Jesus, by being born of the water and of the Spirit. What this means is turning your old life, turning away from your old life of the flesh and being led by the Holy Spirit of God himself. New birth means to repent. It means to turn to Jesus and live for him. It means to be baptized into Christ, born of the water, and to live life saved through him. And what are we saved from? What is it that this new birth saves us from? Well, I want to take you back to the birth of hope story in Matthew chapter 1. You remember when the angel came to Joseph? Remember? And then he had this announcement to make. And he says this, the angel says to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Salvation in Jesus. New birth. You see, hope came to save us from our sins, to give us new birth, to give us new life. As Peter said, "Praise be to God in his great mercy. He has given us this gift. He's given us this new birth into what? A living hope, this hope that lives." Later in chapter 1 Peter 1, 20 verses 21, it says this. Peter says, "He," meaning Jesus, "he was chosen before the creation of the world." There's that promise of hope. Again, those prophecies, everything came together in Jesus. "But he was revealed in these last times." Hope has come. He's here. "For your sake, and through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and your hope are in God." Man, we read those words and think, "Well, Peter, what's he saying here? What? Our hope is in God." He is making it clear. It's so important for us to know because of the life we live and the culture that we're a part of. Look, hope is not found in anybody else or in anything else but God. Hope, it's not in things. It's not in Christmas. It's not in the Christmas presents that you gave or that you received. It's not in a coronavirus vaccine. It's not in the stimulus money. It's not in family vacations. It's not in good health. It's not even in our families. All of those things are great things. We celebrate those things. But that's not where our hope comes from. Our hope is in God alone. And it's found through Jesus, who was raised from the dead. Hope is alive because God raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus is alive. That's why we have hope. Verse 3, "He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The resurrection. Look, if we remember one thing, that's it. Hope is alive because Jesus is alive. Look, I know it's Christmas. And I love Christmas. I mean, it's just a great time of the year. But our hope is not found in the birth of hope, the birth of Jesus. It's not even found in the life, the miracles, the teaching of Jesus. Our hope's not even in the death of Jesus on the cross. You see, if Jesus, all the miracles that happened around his birth and all throughout his life and his crucifixion, wonderful, beautiful things. But if it all had ended there, then hope would have ended there as well. He would have just been a perfect martyr. But hope didn't end there, did it? It didn't end there at all. 3 days after Jesus was killed, he rose from the grave. Hope is alive because Jesus is alive. He didn't stay dead. And Peter knew this. He saw it with his own eyes. In fact, the men that wrote about Jesus' life knew this to be true. We've been reading from Matthew and Luke and John. All of them saw the resurrected Jesus with their own eyes. In fact, the Apostle Paul saw it with his own eyes as well. That's why he could write. I love what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It was promised. And that he was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. It was promised. And that he appeared to Cephas. He appeared to Peter. And then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of his brothers and sisters, and at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James and then to the apostles. And last of all, he appeared, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, appeared to me as well. Hope in the resurrection of Christ. Paul and John and Matthew and Luke and Peter himself and these early Christians. It's just not hard. And I want it because I think with all the things that they might have been going through in their life, when we look for hope as well, where do we go? When we're confused, when we're wondering, where is God? There's just time in our life where we're just like, I need hope and I need it now because none of this is making sense. Where do we turn? Where is hope found? There are those times when we feel like there might not be any, but I want to promise you this morning, as sure as you're sitting here, that hope is alive because Jesus is alive. It is a fact of history. And I know life is tough for many of us. Man, we're going through all kinds of hard times here and there, but that's why God gave us each other, the church, to share that hope with each other. We hurt together. That's why the words Emmanuel, that God is with us when Jesus was born, was so important because God hurts with us. He's going through your pain. He's going through the things that you go through with you. He cares. Hope. And hope happens when we remember that and we look past the sickness. We look past the death. We look past the cross to the empty tomb. We look at the resurrection of Jesus. Because in Jesus Christ, we have a living hope, a resurrection hope, an empty tomb hope, a hope that comes alive because Jesus is alive. God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Peter says, into, and I love how he continues these thoughts, into an eternal inheritance, an inheritance. Look, this living hope leads to something. The resurrection of Jesus leads to something. It leads to an eternal hope. Living hope is found in an inheritance. Look at verses 4 and 5. Into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. Now, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Inheritance. I don't know what you think about when you hear that word. But my family and I, it's funny, over the last couple months, we've been dealing with my father's inheritance since he passed away in July. And man, that's a lot. And his inheritance to us wasn't much, but it's special because they're dad's things. They belong to dad. And now he's sharing them with us. And I got to tell you, in my dad's case, we're talking about plastic models and slot cars and way more books than any human should be able to read, just a house full of things. This was my dad. He was a hobby guy, and he collected things. I don't know, anybody else, you know, that kind of the way you live? So when dad left us, and he would always joke around about this, he would, you know, kind of show us around and go, this is your inheritance one day, son. And be like, oh, great. We got to go through all this stuff and figure out what to do with it. And that's exactly what's going on. And it's been a lot of work. You know, I knew it was going to be, you know, hard when you lose a parent, but I didn't know it was going to be so much work. But it's also a blessing because of the gift, a blessing because of the shared memories, a blessing because of the, you know, the things we get to remember together. And it's amazing to me that sadly, some people fight over this. Some families, they fight over the inheritances. They just go to war about it. Like, well, that's not what it's about. In fact, it's all temporary. It's all just stuff. Dad's got a house full of stuff, shelves full of stuff. Sure, it means some to us, but it's just for here and for now. It's all going to go away one day. What I love about what Peter writes and what I love about the hope that we have in Jesus is it is not going to go away. It is eternal. It is forever. This is a gift from a dad who loves us, who wants to share these good things with us today and forever into eternity. That's the inheritance that Peter is talking about when he writes these words. He's describing this inheritance as an inheritance that will never perish. He's talking about a gift of eternal hope. This Greek word, never perish, it means not liable for corruption or decay, imperishable. Now, this morning, I had a fresh, ripe, beautiful, sweet banana for breakfast. All right? Anybody love bananas? All right? You got apples, you got bananas, you got things in your house. Now, guess what's going to happen to that banana in just a few days? Yeah, it's going to rot away. All right? And nothing worse than to me anyway. Some of y'all weird like those rotten bananas, but than a slimy brown banana. But that's what happens to fruit because it's born of a perishable seed. It's going to go bad one day. What Peter's telling us here is that our inheritance isn't going to perish. It's not going to go bad. It's not going to decay. It says, you have been born again in verse 23. Same passage, Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. And again, I want to remind you back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not what? Perish, not going to perish, but instead we're going to have eternal life. Yes, those who believe in him, eternal life. This all goes together. Peter goes on, he says, this inheritance will not spoil. Again, this Greek word here means not defiled. It's unspoiled. Our hope, this not spoiled goes back to the fact that we can enter into God's presence clean and holy and made pure by the blood of Jesus. We can enter into his presence unspoiled. Praise God for that. It's also an inheritance that does not fade away. This is a word that Peter actually borrows from the culture of the time. It's amarantos, that's the word, amarantos. And it goes back to this idea of unfading, perennial. It's talking about this mythical flower, amaranth, which was known to mythologically to always be in bloom. It would never go bad. It would always just smell right and look right and be beautiful. It never faded. Well, our inheritance, Peter compares to that. He says our inheritance isn't going to die. It's not going to fade. I think about this morning or even last night, we had to go out late, 11, 12 o'clock at night and cover up our flowers. Why? It was going to freeze last night, and it did. And if we wouldn't have covered them up, they would have died. Peter's saying this is an inheritance that's not going to die when it freezes. It's not going to fade away. It's not going to rust. It's not going to end up in a yard sale or a donation box. will not fade away. And this is an inheritance that is kept in heaven. Kept in heaven. And we can have hope in this. This word kept, it means to watch, to observe, to guard, protect, to set aside, to set in reserve. It's an inheritance that is guarded in heaven, locked down by Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and rising again from the tomb himself. Jesus, it's eternal. Living hope means living for that inheritance now, today, understanding and keeping that promise and living for that promise, whether we're doing well or whether, you know, whether we're sick, whether we're healthy, whether we have experienced death in our life or not. You know, this year's been kind of weird because, you know, all of us have kind of been, I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. Well, I'm going to be praying for you. I hope you get better. I hope you stay well. I hope you get better. I hope you get better. Well, that reminded me of a story of a preacher who would go into hospitals and nursing homes to, you know, to pray with people, to bring a message. He'd preach, bring his keyboard in, and he would sing songs and tell jokes, just kind of brighten their day. And this preacher one day went into this nursing home, and he had just got done preaching the best message he could possibly preach. He's all done, and he's looking out, and he feels pretty good about things. And he's like, you know, let me pray for you. And he prays for the people there in the nursing home. And he, just before he leaves, he says, look, I really hope all of you get better. And from the back of the room, elderly man immediately said, well, preacher, we hope you get better too. Maybe it wasn't that good after all. I hope you get better too. Look, our hope isn't just to get better. It's not just to live this life healthy and wealthy and wise. This inheritance isn't just for the short game, for the temporary. Our hope is in the fact that if we follow Jesus here on earth, we'll follow him into heaven. And yes, we will get better one day for eternity. This is our inheritance. So be careful what you pray for when you pray somebody's going to get healthy, that they're going to get better because God might make it permanent. This is our inheritance. Johnny read earlier, John 14, man, we've got a promise. We're going to be made perfect in heaven. This is our living, eternal hope, something we can look forward to, something we can trust in, something we can have hope in. That's why Peter could say again, verse 5, verse 9, our living hope is found in knowing that one day we will receive our God-promised inheritance through the salvation of our souls forever in heaven through Jesus. So we look ahead, and as we look ahead, we can make it through today. We can look ahead and see past the trials, through the suffering, even the grief. You know, Peter tells us that we're actually refined by these things. Same passage, like gold. See hope in the hard times. It's tough. But it's what refines us. It's what proves our faith to be genuine. You see, anybody can have faith. Anybody can have hope when things are going well. Things are going our way. But what about when things don't get better? We're not going to get better. I mean, whether you're awesome and things couldn't be better in your life right now, or whether maybe you're in a place where things seem like they will never get better. Living with our future inheritance in mind, now, today, can make all the difference in the world. It can change us and give us hope for today and for eternity. And then we live in that hope. See, it sounds simple, but living hope is actually about living hope. The birth of hope we've been talking about with the birth of Jesus was just the beginning. As we say goodbye to Christmas 2020, as we say goodbye to the year 2020, we're going to ring that out this week. I hope that we will decide to be, every day when we get out of bed, a people of hope, a people of hope. The hope of Jesus, that we'll decide daily to live in that hope. And how do we do that? How do we do hope? Well, the Apostle Peter, again, a very basic guy, a real man, a fisherman, I mean, he went by God's power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became a preacher and a leader in the church. But I love what he says here in 1 Peter about living hope. I think it's pretty basic. Something we can wrap our heads around. He really keeps it real. Y'all have your Bibles? I asked you earlier. Hold them up if you got them. If you're on your phones, if you're watching again online, this is the time. Man, just think about living hope. Living hope starts with living this book. God's book. Living hope is found in the living word. You want to spend your time on a treasure hunt looking for hope, look no further than this book. If we think about this idea of this living hope and the living word, I think back to the birth of hope. Chris talked about it on Thursday night, John chapter 1, verse 1, where the Bible tells us Jesus was the Logos, the Word made flesh. And he took on flesh and he dwelt among us. You see, Jesus was the living Word who taught the Word and modeled the Word and left us God's Word. So this Bible, the Bible we hold, will give us hope in him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Word comes alive and it changes us from the inside out when we give it leverage in our life. It'll help us live the hope that we have in Jesus. No matter what we're going through, we run to the living word. We let the Holy Spirit transform us through the living word. We spend time studying and growing in the living word. 1 Peter chapter 1, again, some of the final verses, verse 23 and 25 says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring what? Word of God. Verse 24, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail. Again, all temporary. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord. And this is the word that was preached to you. You see, if you want to have living hope, then you have to get into the living word. Maybe you've heard this said around here before, but if you want to have living hope, then you've got to get the living word into you. We have to get into the word, and we have to get the word into us. Hebrews 4:12, God says, the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Y'all, that's why I'm so excited about next year, about 2021, more than usual. I mean, if you've spent any time around here, we love God's word around here. We want to spend all the time we can in it. You know, that's why biblical truth is one of our core values. And that's why next year I'm excited, because we're raising the bar. We're going to devote ourselves more than ever to living the word of God. Maybe you've heard of Core 52. We've talked about it for a few weeks. There's stuff all over the hallways. Core 52 is coming. This is the 52-week framework for our sermon series, for our small groups, for our personal Bible studies, for the challenges and the rewards, the things we're going to be doing, because we want to just spend all the time we can. You saw earlier that video about our Wednesday night study, the story of the Bible. Again, that all goes along with this. We want to be people of the Word more than ever before. So I hope that here's your one best next step for this week, okay? Get in the Bible, all right? But do some research, discover how you can plug in to Core 52 next year, starting next week. Go on ccw.church to our website, go on our Facebook page, visit Josh and his team out at the Next Step Station, get some information, join a small group, figure out how you can be a part of Core 52, and show up next Sunday, because we're going to kick it all off by talking about the living word more in depth. I'm excited about it. So I want to ask you a question as I close, and that is this. Are you happy to say Happy New Year? Anybody ready to say, hey, Happy New Year? Because you're going to say it. You know you're going to say it Thursday. Happy New Year, you know, Happy New Year. Look, that is a hopeful statement, okay? Poking 2021, right? Look, that is a hopeful statement. A living hope is found in living in hope. So I hope you'll take time to read the rest of 1 Peter this week, and you'll see what living in hope looks like. Peter talks about living in the Word. He talks about holiness. He talks about loving each other deeply. Spend time around hopeful people. Be the hopeful person. You get online this week, when you're out in public this week, bring hope with you. Spend time around kids. Bring hope with you. Find it, live it, hold on to it, and share it with the world. 1 Peter 1, verse 9 encourages us, encourages you, encourages me to love Jesus, to love him even though we've never seen him. It's hope. Though you do not see him, trust him. Rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy, knowing that the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Hope. That's Jesus. The birth of hope. And it's found in a living hope. And that living hope is found in a new birth. And that new birth through the resurrection of Jesus. It's a living hope that's found in our eternal inheritance. And it's a living hope found in the living Word. So I'm going to ask you to stand and just kind of join me in this song. This song, we sang it on Christmas Eve. If you were here during third service, you missed it. But it's called Living Hope. This is our prayer. This is our hope and our dream in Christ. So let's make this our prayer as we sing it together. Because in Christ, we praise God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Let us live that hope in Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together.